Ephesians chapter 5, please. I have a very strong desire in my life to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to be used by God. If our ministry could be described as anything, it would be a 1 Corinthians 9 type ministry. All things to all men, that by all means we may save some. We want to be used by God as vessels, clean vessels, to bring God Himself glory. And today is one of the most important ways that a Christian can bring the Lord glory on an individual level. Tonight I want to speak to you on the subject being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you're a Christian, you ought to have a great desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But there's someone who wants that more for you than you could possibly ever desire it for yourself. And that's God Himself. God desires for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So let's look at our text. Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse 15 for context, and let's read through verse 18. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Not only is this wisdom, not only is this a moving path forward, but listen to verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Not only does it refer to the shortness of time, but it also refers to the opposition that we have in our time. Does it ever feel like our time is short? Does it feel like it gets shorter and shorter every day? I'm a 37-year-old, and it feels like my days are getting shorter and shorter. That means I need to live every moment in this way. Verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We're talking about God's will here today. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God wants you to be filled with the Spirit. Now, I've been around some people that didn't see very much potential in me. And they didn't have any plans for me because they didn't see my potential. But I want you to know that God has plans for you because He wants to put His potential in your life. God has a purpose and a plan for you. And because He sees that potential and that plan for you, that you may not even see yourself, He wants to give you someone that walks alongside. He wants to give you somebody that comforts you in this evil world. He wants to give you His Spirit. Now, you might not be able to see the potential that God has for you, but His plan is laid out. He saw a red-headed shepherd boy and said, I'll make you the greatest king that Israel has ever known. God saw an impetuous blabbermouth fisherman by the name of Simon and said, I'm going to make you Peter, the little rock. He sees a cold-blooded, hateful murderer by the name of Saul and says, I'm going to turn you into the greatest Christian that the world has ever known, named Paul. We may not see the potential in ourselves, but God sees it in us. Now, we often call the plan for our life God's will, and it might seem ethereal or out there or ungraspable. Well, brother, I'm following God's will, and I don't know what it is, and it's unattainable, it's ethereal, it's out there somewhere. But God is very express here what His will is. In fact, there are three primary wills for God that God has for you in your life. And whenever Christians talk about the will of God, they talk about what city they should move to, or who they should marry, or what job they should take, and what profession they should be in, what calling or career. All of those things are important, but they are all secondary. And there are three primary wills for every single person. Number one, it is God's will for you to be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want any of you here to miss heaven. If you're not saved today, you're out of the will of God. Number two, it is God's will for us to be sanctified. 1 Corinthians 4 said, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification. Are you set apart for God's purposes and away from the will of the world? Are you living a life that is separate, set apart for the Lord? If you're not, you're out of the will of God. The third will that God has for you is for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Let's look at verse 17. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is God's will for you. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He wants you to be all that you can be. And it's not all that you endeavor to be, but all God empowers you to be. So I want to ask you a very personal question. If this is how we can advance personally, let me ask you a very personal question. Are you, right now, filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And if you're not, you're out of the Lord's will. It is God's desire for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I was at Brother Tom's today, and he's a bike rider, pastor's a bike rider, and he was telling me a story, Brother Tom was telling me a story of how he and his wife got two flat tires, one right after the other. Now, how many of you have gotten on a bike and tried to pedal uphill? How many of you have tried to pedal uphill on a bike with flat tires? Well, living the Christian life without the power of the Holy Spirit is like trying to go uphill on a bike with flat tires. In fact, the life that God wants you to live is aired up tires, but it's a bike with a motor on it so that you can go up and down the hills with ease and even face the corners and curves of life with no trouble. Does it ever feel like you're going uphill in your life? Well, the Holy Spirit is the power of God in your life to make the Christian life or the Christ life possible. It is impossible to live the Christian life apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. So let's add some questions today. If everyone is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, look at verse 18 with me. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Firstly, notice it's a command. The verb is in the imperative mood. It's the mood of command. It's not just a good idea or a suggestion from God. This is a command for you. It's God's will for you. Now, compared to that other command, be not drunk with wine, most everybody takes that first part of that command very seriously. Well, be not drunk with wine. And I've known too many people, even in my family, that have had their family affected by the horrors and the rages of alcohol. It's not something that Christians should even mess with. It is a sin. And it's a command. Don't be drunk with wine. And we might be able to swallow that, if you will. We've seen the effects of wine. You know what happens when somebody's drunk. You often hear or smell that person that's affected by alcohol before you even see them. And it affects their whole life. It affects their walk. It affects their way. It affects their words. It affects every part of their life when they're under the influence of alcohol. Well, it's just as much of a sin for a Christian to teach a Sunday school class, to preach a sermon, to sing in the choir, to mow the church lawn, or to do anything in the Christian life apart from the filling of the Holy Spirit. It is so important for the Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And there are only two options in the Christian life: either the Spirit-filled life or disobedience to God. And it's not just an imperative command, it's a continual command. It is active in the present tense. We can say it this way: be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. I ask you a question: are you right now filled with the Holy Spirit of God? This is not a one-time experience. Well, I went to church camp in 1982, and I felt the presence of God so strongly when I made a decision to follow him and I threw my decision stick in the fire, and I remember being filled with the Holy Spirit back then. Or you went to a tent meeting or a revival and an evangelist preached and you went to the altar and made a decision. And way back then you were filled with the Holy Spirit. That's not the question. The question is not, were you filled with the Holy Spirit? The question is, right now, are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? You can even say it this way. Do your all to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There is not a super spiritual class of Christians that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and the rest of us can get by on our own power and strength. No. Every single one of us needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's a continuous command. It's an imperative command. And it's not something that you do in the passive voice. It's not something that happens to you. We don't go to a worshipful, emotional service and then, wow, the Holy Spirit just hits us. And then we're filled with the Holy Spirit. No, God wants to fill you with his Holy Spirit, and he will do it. He promises he'll do it when all of the conditions are met. It's a continuous command to all believers to consent to the continuous control of the Holy Spirit. Now, be filled. Be filled. That command has three shades of meaning. Imagine sitting on the water in a sailboat and your sail is up and that sail is filled with wind. You might be paddling before, but once the wind blows in that sail, then now you're going somewhere. And it always happens in forward motion, and then you can steer once the sail is filled with the wind. And once it starts blowing, and once you start moving, now you're going somewhere. Let the Holy Spirit guide you through life. The scorners, the sitters, the quitters, they aren't moving forward. They aren't being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And you must be going forward, having your sail up, expecting God to lead you forward. Well, I've gotten up this morning. I read my Bible. I prayed my prayers. I've checked my spiritual box. And then you go to church and another worship service. And, well, I hope preacher doesn't go too long to run into the Dallas Cowboys game today, or I've got another Sunday school lesson. I've been teaching this Sunday school class for 40 years. I know what to do. That doesn't sound like a person who the Holy Spirit is filling their sails. When you ask the Lord, Lord, show me what you have for me today, that's the prayer of somebody who expects the Lord to fill their sails. There's a difference between leaning on the flesh and being filled with the Holy Spirit and letting him fill your sails. It's used in a second way. We didn't have refrigerators back in Bible times, and this was an understanding of how you preserve meat. Any meat that was preserved was packed in salt, and eventually the meat took on the characteristics of that salt so that wherever you would cut that meat after it had been preserved and packed, you would taste the characteristics of that meat. If we were to cut into any portion of your life, would we find the Holy Spirit there in influencing, permeating every area of your life? It's like wind filling a sail. It's like salt packing meat. But there's a third way that it should be a part of our life. It's like an emotion that takes forefront. If somebody were to be filled with anger or filled with happiness, that emotion that comes to the forefront, that's the way we ought to be living according to the Spirit. So if people were to meet you, who are they meeting? Somebody that has the flesh at the forefront or the Spirit at the forefront? Are they meeting a Christian or a Christ-like person? Are you filled with the Spirit? This is that dominating emotion. Even though the filling of the Holy Spirit is not emotionalism, it's compared to like somebody who is controlled, guided by, overwhelmed by a particular emotion. It's the will of God is that your responses become God's responses. God's responses are literally your responses now. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit of God? We keep on asking that question tonight. So you might ask your question after hearing it even one more time. Why do I need this? Why do I need to give the Holy Spirit control over my life, over every thought, over every action? This sounds like a bunch of holy roller stuff to me. I want to have an encounter with God when I come to church on Sunday morning, but I'll be just fine the rest of the week. Why do I really need the Holy Spirit of God? Well, we'll see it in Ephesians 5 and 6 in our responsibilities. Really, these are obligations for everyone, and we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in every single one of these. Remember, it is impossible to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to do these things that are our responsibilities in everyday life, and it is just as hard to live the Christian life apart from the Holy Spirit. Good news tonight. If you've been saved by the Holy, by Jesus Christ, Christ lives in you. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The most important words that you can tell anyone outside of Christ are these five words. Christ died for our sins. The most important words that you can hear after you've come to faith in Christ, Christ liveth in me. The resurrected Christ, in all of his resurrection power, lives in you through the Holy Spirit of God. The death of Christ was to put Christ's life in you. He's the one who died so that you can live this Christian life. And he's the only one who can live this Christian life. And he lives in you. And there are five impossible obligations that you have to meet every day in your life. And you can't do it apart from the Holy Spirit. So let's look at verse 19 now. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, he's talking about our worship life. He's talking about our worship life. Speaking to yourselves. Underline the phrase, speaking to yourselves, and then underline the next phrase, in your heart. Speaking to yourselves is talking about public worship, and that's what we've done here today. We rejoiced in these wonderful songs, and we were led to get a clearer picture of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. That is public worship. And speaking in your heart is singing in your heart is talking about personal, private worship. It's something that you ought to be doing, not just in the house of God, but you ought to be worshiping the Lord every single day, right? I like what Warren Wiersbe said about worship. He said that to some, worship is a battleground. To others, worship is a playground. To God, worship is holy ground. One of the reasons why worship is so confusing in the day that we live in and in churches, I believe it's so confusing is because so many Christians aren't filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Some people come to church on Sunday morning and they're looking for a fight. That person sang a solo, and that solo happened to be published after 1962. Because they know that no good song was written after 1962. And we all know that God died after 1962. And no good song was written then. So they're looking to pick a fight. Or somebody on the other side of the auditorium might be saying, well, that's not how you worship. They might be saying, they're so old and out of touch, and modern people can't worship like that anymore. They've anointed themselves the worship police. And they go around and they're finding something wrong with the worship of God's people. They look at worship as a battleground. Now, to some, they look at worship as a playground, loud and soft and fast and slow and dark and light, because we all know the Holy Spirit likes laser lights and fog machines. That's the only way to invite the Holy Spirit's presence to permeate God's people. And when it comes time to hear those soft and loud songs, we know that the Holy Spirit only shows up with the right concoction and the right order of our songs. That's not Holy Spirit-filledness, that's emotional manipulation. Worship is not a playground. Worship is holy ground. Whether you're playing in a praise team with a guitar, or whether you've got a King James Bible under your arm and your skirt at the appropriate length, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just as wrong. Did you bring the Holy Spirit to tonight's Tuesday night service? You need the Holy Spirit in your worship life. Worship is not a battleground. It's not a playground. It is holy ground. It is all about Him. It's all about His glory. It's not that self-righteous person or that trendy style follower. Did you bring the Holy Spirit of God in you? We need the Holy Spirit in our worship life. So I would ask you, what worship is filling your heart and in your life? We're given three words that indicate the variety that we ought to see in every church. Psalms, that's highest praise to a holy God. This scripture set to music. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I believe that there's a rise in the spiritual song because we've neglected the scripture set to music. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. My children need to have the Psalms or scripture set to music so that they can have God's thoughts as their thoughts throughout the day. So sing songs, Psalms, here in the church and in your home. Next, we see hymns. Highest praise to a holy God and are objective in their focus, often exalting Christ as Savior and His mighty acts. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to Thee. It's God-focused and God-directed. That's hymns. We need hymns in our life. We don't neglect hymns. We have to have hymns. We need our thoughts, instead of earthbound, we need our thoughts to be heaven-bound. Spiritual songs. That's what the Lord has done for me, often using personal pronouns. We sang one tonight. He touched me. Oh, He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened and now I know He touched me and made me whole. So it answers the question, what has the Lord done for me? And we need this holy variety here. We need this holy balance in our worship life, personally and publicly. Not only do we need Him in our worship life, we need Him in our wedded life. Look at verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Now skip to verse 25, please. Husbands, loved your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Now skip to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Here in this passage, we see that we need the Holy Spirit's filling. All of these commands come after the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. We must have the Holy Spirit in our wedded life. He gives these commands about the wife submitting, the husband's loving, and the children obeying after He gives the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the oil in the machinery of marriage that makes it run smoothly. Wives, submit yourselves to your husband. That's kind of a big deal. That's one equal voluntarily placing herself under the equal leadership of her husband. Now, how many of you think that that's a difficult assignment? And all God's wives said, I expected a big amen there. Wives, that was your chance. It's a difficult assignment to place yourself, those equals in that relationship, voluntarily under the leadership of your husband. But God expects it. It's impossible to do apart from the Holy Spirit. Now, men, you might even have the more difficult assignment. On my most spirit-filled day, I can love my wife the way God wants her, but we're to be loving in the way that Christ died for the church and gave himself for it, how he loved the church. That is a big, deep, sacrificial love. On my best day, I don't know that I could compare it to the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, but that's the way my relationship should look to my precious wife. And in your marriage relationship, that's the way it ought to look. It's a tough assignment. Young people, you have a difficult assignment too. If you say, Brother Johnson, I'm reading God's word, but I'm not getting much out of it, the first question I ask children is, how's your relationship with your mom and dad? It's the first commandment with promise, right? That it may be well with you. It will not go well with you, children, if you don't learn immediate, cheerful obedience. We will always have authority in our life. And it's the first command to children, and because it's the command that we always use. Commands to obey authority, to obey the law, to obey the government, and then to obey an employer and, of course, our parents. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, as a young person, you obey your mom and dad. Here's what I know. When a woman says, my husband is just out of touch, we don't communicate like we should, I know the real problem. The problem is that you or the other is out of touch with God. If they were in touch with God, filled with the Holy Spirit, they'd be communicating one with another. What about a man who says, I just don't love my wife like I should? Your problem isn't that you don't love your wife. It's you don't love the Lord anymore. You're not filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And we're commanded to love our wives. And we must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God in our wedded life. Now look at verse 5 and 6 of chapter 6. This is our work life. Number 3, our work life. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God in your work life. God sets the standard operating procedures for our lives pretty high. If you're going to work, are you doing every single task like you're doing it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you serving every authority figure and every boss as if you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you doing it with singleness of heart, focused, wholehearted, undistracted effort? Potiphar observed Joseph's work in Genesis, and he observed that there was no other explanation other than that the Lord was with him. What are people observing in your work life? There are things to be done here at this church. There are people that are doing them, but are there people coming alongside and helping? Who's going to make that casserole dish for those that are hurting or in the hospital? Who's going to mow that lawn? Who's going to start that class? Who's going to paint that wall? Who's going to hang that sheetrock? Who's going to run those electric wires? There's work to be done, and we work because we're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Do the people on your job site know that you're a follower of Jesus Christ? When they see you work, are they seeing a Christ-honoring relationship? Now, I'm convinced of this, that the greatest mission field in America is where you go to work every single day. If you'll get busy about a spirit-filled life, you'll go to work on Monday and make a difference. You'll have no problem getting those people that you work with into these pews on Sunday if you're filled with the Holy Spirit Monday through Friday. Now look at verse 12, please. Let's look at our war life, please. Of chapter 6, verse 12, let's look at our war life. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me just say this, people are not my problem. The real enemy that you're facing is not the IRS. It isn't your mother-in-law. My mother-in-law is watching, and you're not my enemy. Your enemy is not Democrats or Republicans. It's not your neighbor. It's not your boss. Your real enemy is the devil. The Bible says to be sober and be vigilant because he's a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You're going to do battle with the devil this week, and in your own strength, you are no match for that temptation that he'll bring to you. He'll bring discouragement to you. He'll know exactly what to bring you in your own strength. And if you're in the flesh, you're going to lose. The good news is that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's the Holy Spirit of God. People are not my problem. No, I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit in order to do battle on a daily basis. There's no battle that you can't win if you're filled with the Holy Spirit in your war life. Now look at verse 18 of chapter 6. Verse 18 of chapter 6, let's look at our witness life. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, boldly, unashamedly, speaking the gospel like I ought to speak. You ought to be speaking the gospel to the ones that need to be hearing it. Are you praying for an opportunity? Do you look at every appointment in your life as a divine appointment? If I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll get on a plane or I'll go to a restaurant and I'll wimp out. I won't tell anybody else about Jesus Christ. But if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm constantly looking for opportunities to share my faith. Oh, he's done so much for me. Oh, I have an active presence of the Lord right now. I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. He's in me. He's filling me. I can't help but spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, Paul could have told of the churches that he started, of the epistles that he'd written. But he tells that, I want you to pray for me that I may be the witness that I need to be. One of the indicators that tells me that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit of God is my witness. I need to be bold as a lion, brave as a bear, and share the gospel everywhere. Why don't you share the gospel? Why don't you use the front pocket on your shirt as a track rack? What are the type of people that pass out tracks? People that carry them. When's the last time you've carried some tracks around and decided to spread the gospel? You know what? If you're trying to do what God wants you to do and pass out gospel tracts in your own power, you're just peddling without the power and the engine that you need to. You're trying to work up courage to do it. Instead of being filled, having the wind fill your sails and boldly go where God wants you to go. We need it in our worship life, in our wedded life, in our work life, in our war life, and in our witness life. It's interesting in 1 Corinthians that Paul said, when I came to you, I came in fear and trembling. But you know what the 1 Corinthians heard, or what the Corinthians heard in 1 Corinthians? When he was there, they heard someone that came and preached the word boldly. Even though it felt like weakness to him, it looked like boldness to everyone else. So God takes our weakness and he makes our weakness look like strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. So you don't have to work up the courage to go tell somebody else. Go in your weakness as a beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. The world is dying and going to hell. And as Amy Carmichael said it this way, she painted a wonderful picture. I want to stand as a sentinel at the precipice of hell with arms outstretched, saving as many as I possibly can with my reach before they plunge into the fiery pit of hell. Are you that sentinel with arms outstretched in your witness life? You won't be unless you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, is that just like a thermometer? Is the filling of the Holy Spirit where I get more of the Holy Spirit? No. It's not a feeling, it's a filling. It's the Holy Spirit having more of you. Have you yielded yourself to the impulses of the Holy Spirit of God? All of the obligations that we have in our life, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit, or there's going to be a problem in each of those areas of our life. So I asked you a question at the beginning. Are you, right now, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? And if you're not, you're out of the will of God.